Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com. That's PolicyGenius.com.
And just like that, Devergreen Show Prep, poof, welcome to the Friday edition of the Mark Arum Show. We were anticipating, waiting for Judge McAfee's decision on whether or not Fulton County DA Fani Willis should be disqualified from the case. We thought it might happen during the show. We weren't really sure. And then, bam, he drops it right before we get on the air. The big breaking news you heard there from Chris Chandler, the judge rules that Fulton County DA Fani Willis must either step aside or cut ties with her special prosecutor before the election interference case against Donald Trump can move forward. That's Judge McAfee's ruling. And it seems pretty easy that Fani Willis won't step aside, but she'll cut ties with Nathan Wade. At least that's my opinion as a layman. We're going to be all over this case. WSB legal reporter Veronica Waters is going to join us in a little bit. CNN updating this with their legal analyst now. Let's dip into their coverage real quick.
Through the order now. Mm-hmm. This initial problem, and this appears to have been nipped in the bud, and I don't know why it was left to fester. But now, you know, it's basically caused gangrene of the limb, and the judge is saying, look, we're removing it if we're going forward. And that's where we're at today.
All right, we're gonna monitor what CNN's doing. They'd have a reporter outside of the Fulton County Courthouse as well. They've got legal analysts, as do we. But again, if you're just joining us, big breaking news. We were expecting today's self-imposed deadline by Judge McAfee to rule whether or not Fani Willis will be disqualified. He says either she goes or Nathan Wade goes. I would imagine Nathan Wade will go. Fani Willis and the DA's office will continue this case. Friday's ruling, according to the AJC, a blow to the defense, who have argued that Willis and her whole office should be disqualified and the indictment should be dismissed in its entirety. Now, before we got that judge's ruling, CNN's Ellie Honig was on CNN talking about this case. And I guess the first question, if Fani Willis is disqualified from this case, is the case essentially over? I guess she might step aside. Let's see what Ellie Honig had to say about that.
No, we don't. This bill is not a ban. It's about a divestiture. And it's really not about TikTok. It's about ByteDance.
Yeah, that's not the right audio. Here's Ellie Honig.
Here's what it really comes down to. First of all, the judge has to decide, is he going to use an appearance of a conflict standard, which is much lower? Could the public reasonably perceive there to be some conflict? Or the higher, tougher standard, which is an actual conflict of interest? If he uses the higher standard, the defendants, Trump and the other co-defendants, here's what it really comes down to.
All right, there's CNN's Ellie Honig. I apologize for that. Again, a lot of wheels moving right now. The judge rules that DA Fani Willis can stay on the Trump election case as long as prosecutor Nathan Wade is removed. Now, we were questioning why he wasn't removed already once these questions of impropriety came up. And as good a lawyer he might be, he's not essential to the case. He's already done most of the investigatory work. There was already some plea deals that have been reached. So he's superfluous at this point. Paula Reed is CNN's chief legal affairs correspondent.
Another issue she needs to address, and that is the fate of the lead prosecutor for this investigation, Nathan Wade, who she had a romantic relationship with. The judge here, just like he had some harsh words for Fani Willis, also has some pretty strong language related to Mr. Wade. Here he calls Wade's testimony, his explanation for some incorrect information that he submitted, quote, unpersuasive. He also describes his conduct as showing a willingness to wrongfully conceal his relationship with the district attorney. The judge said, as the case moves forward, reasonable members of the public could easily be left to wonder whether the financial exchanges between Wade and the district attorney have continued, resulting in some form of benefit to the district attorney, or whether the romantic relationship has resumed. I think you read between the lines, you lied once, you could potentially lie again, or could reasonably think that the district attorney is not exercising her independent professional judgment, totally free of any compromising influences. He says, and here's the key quote, as long as Wade remains on this case, the unnecessary perception will persist. Basically saying because of what has happened during this process, what they've learned, the fact that Mr. Wade was not always honest with the court, he said this is going to hang this cloud of distrust over this case. And he is suggesting that Nathan Wade needs to be removed. Now, he does not, as I understand it, order him to be removed, but he's walking up to the line and saying he's got to go. Now, some people have previously called for Nathan Wade and or Fani Willis to step aside. Neither one of them have done that. Neither one of them have given any indication they intend to do that, but it's impossible to see really how this case would go forward, certainly not before the election, with Mr. Wade at the helm, when you have the judge overseeing the case saying, look, he's got to go.
Paula Reed, I know you're pouring over this, and we will get back to you as soon as you get more new
information.
That's
CNN's Paula Reed. So she has a copy of the summary from Judge McAfee. I don't yet have it in my hand, so I can't do it. Ronick Waters has a copy and is going to be pouring over it, much like Paula Reed was there. But he goes in depth and really, from what Paula Reed is reading from the decision, really attacking Nathan Wade's credibility. And Paula Reed echoed what I just said. The fact that he was still on the case after all this was befuddling. And I think it's a simple solution for the DA's office. Nathan Wade is gone. The case continues to move on. Now, yesterday, Deborah, when the judge dismissed three charges against former President Trump, I said, well, if he's going to dismiss those charges, that leads me to believe he is not going to disqualify Fani Willis. Because if he had already decided, all right, Fani Willis is gone, there really would have been no need to throw out those three charges against former President Trump and the other indictees. So to me, that was the canary in the coal mine that led me to believe that Fani Willis would remain on the case. Will she remain on the case? I mean, it's either her or Wade. I can't imagine she's stepping down. Ellie Honig now back on CNN reacting.
Tremendous lack in judgment, the odor of mendacity. He says that the public speech she made in the church was, quote, legally improper. And the judge even says in the ruling, it may be time for a gag order on the DA because she keeps on making improper public statements. He leaves it out there. He doesn't say I'm issuing one, but he raises the possibility of a gag order on the DA. I mean, there's gag orders on Donald Trump.
Right.
Because we collectively fear that he may be tainting the jury pool. And now the judge floats the same possibility. So the DA's office has survived. The case survives. It will roll on. At what pace, we'll see. But there's some damage done here.
This isn't the best ruling that Fani Willis could have gotten, or is this the best ruling?
It's pretty close to the best.
I just want to make sure that we're making clear to people.
Yeah. Trying to get at.
Yeah. Yeah. If I'm the DA, I am breathing a heavy sigh of relief right now, because this language, we will see it in the media, and maybe the jury pool will see it. You can filter that out later, but they have survived. Your goal here is to survive. And
that's the quote right there. Fani Willis has survived on the ruling from Judge McAfee. Big breaking news. We're going to be all over it. We've got our legal experts and analysts at the ready. WSB legal reporter Veronica Waters is going to join us in just a bit. If you're just joining us, Judge McAfee's decision handed down a little before 9 a.m. He says either Fani Willis must go or Nathan Wade must go for this proceeding to go on, this indictment to go on, this racketeering trial to go on. We can assume that Nathan Wade is going to step aside and Fani Willis will continue to try the case. We're going to continuously update this story throughout the show. When we come back, though, we're going to cleanse our palate as we read this brief from the judge. Amazing actor David Morse. He was in Green Mile. He was in so many amazing shows. He's going to join us next live. It's the Mark Arum Show on a Friday, 95.5 WSB.
It is a gift to the defense, I believe, as they will use this as they talk about whether or not the case has merit or whether or not it was brought for other reasons, whether or not it's a professional prosecutor and all that. We're going to hear all that down the road.
Political analyst Michael Moore on CNN reacting to the judgment from Judge McAfee in Fulton County Court, saying that Fani Willis can stay on the prosecution team if Nathan Wade goes or vice versa. Just got the written statement in my hands. I'm going over it right now. The conclusion, writes Judge McAfee, whether this case ends in convictions, acquittals, or something in between, the result should be one that instills confidence in the process. WSB legal reporter Veronica Waters is going to join us next half hour, and we've got a panel of legal analysts ready to break down this breaking news you heard live on WSB Radio. And I'm going through my memory bank trying to think if our next guest has ever played a judge in a movie or a television show. Actor David Morse joins us live on the Mark Arum Show. David, good morning. Thanks for your time.
I'm very happy to be here. Thanks for having me. And I don't think I have played a judge.
No, doctor, yeah. Prison guard, yeah. Alien dad, yeah. But I can't recall a judge. David, welcome to the show. Very excited about a new movie, you and John Lithgow, called Cabrini. Am I pronouncing it right? Cabrini?
Cabrini, that's right, Cabrini, yeah.
I was using my Italian accent. Tell us about Cabrini.
Well, it was a beautiful Italian accent. Yeah, this is, if people don't know, you know, like me, I didn't know much about Mother Cabrini. I had heard of institutions. I'm here in Philadelphia, there's Cabrini University, but I never had a face or a story to put to it. And when I got the script about this young woman, this young nun in the 1800s, who took off from Italy. She was sent by the Pope at the time to one of the most dangerous neighborhoods in this country. And what she did with her little band of sisters, literally changing the world with her work, eventually with her work and her mission. It's an amazing story, this woman. And I think it's going to touch a lot of hearts.
Interesting. What was it like working with John Lithgow? I mean, talk about one of the greatest actors of our generation.
You know, it's hard to believe, but I had never met him. We had never worked together. When I was doing St. Elsewhere a long time ago in the 80s, he had written a screenplay, and I was asked to read. He was doing a reading of it. And he asked me to do, I hadn't met him, but I was asked to read the role that he would have done in the screenplay. But I couldn't do it. Something else came up. And I have wanted to meet him ever since then and thank him for it. And when I was shooting Cabrini, I was there before him, and I'd been working. And one day, I was in the makeup trailer, and the door flies open, and John Lithgow walks in and looks at me and says, "Here's the man who's been stealing all my roles." And I felt the same way about him. I felt like every role that I want to do, he's done.
I'm trying to think if you guys could have flipped roles in your careers. I don't think, well, yeah, he could have been your character in 12 Monkeys. I think he could have pulled that off.
But it was one thing that I was asked to do. He did Dexter, that season of Dexter. I was actually asked to do the serial killer that season, and I had already done a serial killer in a movie, Disturbia. I just didn't want to jump into another serial killer. So I turned it down, and he wound up doing it, winning an Emmy Award for it.
Oh, my goodness.
Darn, what was I thinking?
Oh, my goodness. Actor David Morse joining us live on the Mark Arum Show. Cabrini in theaters nationwide. When you're out and about, you're a tall, good-looking man, very recognizable. When people see you, do they go, "Oh, you're the guy from blank"? What's the most common blank answer there?
You are my high school basketball coach. that's what they think. Don't I know you from?
Yeah.
No, that's what it used to be. Now, of course, people. I'm amazed at how many people who still remember things like St. Elsewhere.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
tell me that they they tell me that they watch the show with their mothers. The Green Mile. For me,
it's Green Mile, one of my favorite movies of all time. But it's also Hearts in Atlantis, which I think is a really underrated film.
I'm so happy to hear you say that. I agree. I think that was a really beautiful, touching movie. And it was a Stephen King story. And I've done a number of Stephen King stories, like The Green Mile. And he really has some great ones.
Was there any, speaking of Green Mile, any intimidation? Because it basically reads like a play, right? You could do the Green Mile on stage. This could be done in the theater. With so many, you know, one-on-one scenes with Tom Hanks. Is that intimidating or is it old hat for you at this point?
Oh, no. I mean, Tom, first of all, Tom Hanks doesn't let it be intimidating.
Yeah.
He's not that kind of person. He doesn't let that for anybody. You know, his company is called Plato, and it's called Plato for a reason. Play is something he loves to do on the set with the crew, with the actors, so that never happened. And just in terms of Green Mile, that was a series, I think it was six novelettes, and Frank Darabont, who made the movie, pretty much got everything from, it was almost a 3.5-hour movie, you know, really got that whole story in that movie, which is a phenomenal, you know, thing to pull off. And that movie just, I really think it's shown all over the world all the time, because it doesn't matter where I go, but people tell me they've just watched it.
Yeah, I mean, tears for John Coffey. Yeah, as a grown man, I can still say I watch it. Yeah. And I still get tears. Will we cry at the end of Cabrini? I don't want any spoilers, but is this a tear-jerking movie?
You better believe it. I was in the freaking thing. And, it's just the, you know, seeing it for the first time. And then we had to do the Q&A, you know, question and answers afterwards. I could probably talk. I was so moved by it. It was Christiana Dolana, who plays Mother Cabrini. She's now an Italian actress. She is just spectacular. And the storytelling is amazing. It's just beautiful to watch.
Well, David Morris, I respect your acting chops. And if there is ever a movie made about what's going on in the Fulton County court right now, I think we can get you to play Judge McAfee. I think you can handle that role.
Thank you for casting me in that role.
You got it. I'm not going to tell Lithgow. I'm not going to ask Lithgow. I'm asking David Morris there. Actor David Morris live on the Mark Arum Show. Cabrini in theaters nationwide right now. All right, back to the big breaking news. Again, if you're just joining us, Fulton County Judge McAfee rules that DA Fani Willis can stay on the Trump election case if Prosecutor Nathan Wade is removed. We assume that is what is going to happen. We've got our legal experts and legal reporters at the standby. We're going to continue to go through this 23 pages of the decision from the judge. We're going to fly through it and break it down for you. And we'll continue our coverage when we come back after news, weather, and traffic. Yeah, big breaking news coverage. Later in the show, we're going to go live to Jerusalem. Reaction from Israelis to Senator Schumer's remarks concerning Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister. I'm sure that's making waves over in Israel. Robert Berger is going to join us live at 10:35 from Jerusalem. Our continuing coverage of the big breaking news, the Fulton County Courthouse, continues next on the Mark Arum Show.
DA Fani Willis can stay on this case, but it also appears that the judge is saying that this appearance issue needs to be addressed before this can go forward. So this appears to be a pretty nuanced ruling, but the headline is that the district attorney and her office can stay on this case.
Paula Reed on CNN, moments after Chris Chandler broke the news that Fani Willis can stay on the Trump election case. Our team coverage continues here on the Mark Arum Show. Joining us later in the program, WSB legal reporter Veronica Waters, former DeKalb County DA J. Tom Morgan is going to join us with his perspective. It's a long decision here by Judge McAfee. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I just want to read the conclusion for the folks listening right now. This is how the judge signs off. Whether this case ends in convictions, acquittals, or something in between, the result should be one that instills confidence in the process. A reasonable observer, unburdened by partisan blinders, should believe the law was impartially applied and that those accused of crimes had a fair opportunity to present their defenses, and that any verdict was based on our criminal justice system's best efforts at ascertaining the truth. Any distractions that detract from these goals, if remedial under the law, should be proportionately addressed. After consideration of the record established on these motions, the court finds the allegations and evidence legally insufficient to support a finding of actual conflict of interest. However, the appearance of impropriety remains and must be handled as previously outlined before the prosecution can proceed. The defendant's motions are therefore granted in part and denied in part. So ordered on this 15th day of March, 2024, the Ides of March, by the way, signed Judge Scott McAfee, Superior Court of Fulton County, Atlanta Judicial Circuit. He broke the news live just before he came on the air. Host of Atlanta's Morning News, it's Chris Chandler. Chris, the way we're reading this is the judge says either Nathan Wade goes or Fonnie Willis goes for this court case to proceed.
She can stay or he can stay, but they can't both stay because of that appearance of impropriety in this. He raked them both over the coals, even though he said there wasn't enough evidence to prove an actual conflict of interest. He did point out that they had engaged, in his view, in some behavior that at least looked terrible.
Now, you've been covering this story every morning, as we have here. The way I read this is Nathan Wade will be gone and Fonnie Willis will stay and continue.
You have to imagine that's what it
is. Because if the opposite is true, just from the legal analyst I was talking to preparing for today's show, and the announcement was if Fonnie Willis is disqualified, the whole Fulton County DA's office is contaminated and must be disqualified.
That's the way I understand it. We'll ask Ronnie about that. But if she was disqualified, yes, indeed, that's what would have happened. So if she stepped down on her own, presumably also, it would delay the whole thing months more.
If at all.
It wouldn't necessarily go ahead then.
Because I was dubious that another district attorney's office would pick up the case and hand it to the and head to the goal line on this. Again, breaking news here. If you're just joining us, Judge McAfee says either Fonnie Willis goes or Nathan Wade goes. We're awaiting word from both Fonnie Willis and Nathan Wade. But the assumption, Chris Chandler, it's Nathan Wade that will depart from this case. So far from the legal analyst I've been seeing on the cable news network saying it's a win for the DA's office and a minor defeat for the defense. The question I'm going to ask our legal analyst later on is if this prevents possible grounds for appeal after this trial concludes.
And if they appeal even this ruling, it'll delay the whole thing even further. And it will be interesting to hear, and Ronnie may know, if any of this like really harsh language can be brought up in the actual trial. And I always ask this, on a potential jury for the actual Trump trial, do you want 12 people who haven't heard about any of this? Right. Even if there's no conflict of interest, everybody knows how shady it has looked. And the judge has essentially agreed today. It's going to be hard to find 12 people who have not followed this closely.
Don't have internet or electricity.
And in a way, the Trump strategy, both legal and political, with some success, has been to say, I'm a victim of an unjust court system.
Yeah.
You know, and this is only played into that.
Well, it's going to be interesting because this is, you know, this is out in the ether. The accusations of impropriety or the appearance of impropriety, the romantic relationship between Willis and Wade. I mean, it's out there. Everyone sees. So the voir dire process, the process of selecting a jury is, I mean, that could, and it always takes a long time. We look at the YSL
months
case.
And months. And I don't know if people realize that. Months.
It was months to just pick a jury.
Yeah.
And I mean, that process could be even longer because this is a much bigger story than the YSL case, which is what are we looking for through the weekend and coming up Monday on Atlanta's Morning News following this? What are we expecting response from the defense attorneys?
I think right now it's going to depend on what else happens today.
Yeah.
What Fonnie Willis says and or does, or what Nathan Wade says and or does, and whether the attorneys for any of these defendants say they will appeal, because that'll be an important thing, because that's going to push this either much closer to the election if it goes to trial, or even after.
Again, I'm not a legal expert, but the fact that we expect the jury process to take so long, and you made a great point too, that you got to imagine the defense attorneys are going to appeal Judge McAfee's decision here, and that plays perfectly into the Trump camp's plan. Not just with this legal case, but every legal case, like just delay as far as you can and push it past the November election. Because even though this isn't a federal case, which former President Trump, if elected, reelected, might be able to pardon himself or tell the Justice Department, hey, drop this case. Right. This is a state case where he won't be able to pardon. But if President Trump is reelected, will the Fulton County DA's office even continue with the trial if he's in office?
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. And, of course, she has competition in the election now.
Exactly right. All right. Chris Chandler broke the news just before we came on. We'll catch you. Get some rest, man. You deserve some rest.
It's about nap time, and I think it's about to be good napping weather.
There you go. Enjoy. Yeah, we're monitoring the weather. Let's go back to CNN right now. This is Paula Reed covering the ruling from the judge.
Say that on camera, but it speaks to the high stakes. Here, the lack of this individual's experience has not prevented him from navigating this in a way that at least some people close to the defense team says, look, this was the right result. So he, again, the fact that he has a case like this after being on the bench for less than a year, what a daunting task. And today, it's interesting because we were wondering what he was going to say, because over the past few days, he's given interviews. Highly unusual for a judge overseeing a case of this nature to give press interviews. And I was wondering when he kept saying, I make my decisions regardless of politics. I wondered, okay, he's clearly trying to get out in front of whatever he's going to decide. What is it that he's trying to say? But he is an elected judge. He will have to run for the seat. He will have a challenger. So it appears that he's just trying to tell the voters, like, look, politics had nothing to do with the conclusion that I arrived at here. But he is definitely a key player. I know we've talked about the district attorney, about former President Trump. But let's not forget about the judge, arguably the biggest decision he's had to make so far in his career.
There you go. Paula Reed on CNN. More reaction continues to come in on the breaking news you heard live here on WSB Radio. Judge McAfee rules that Fulton County DA Fonnie Willis may remain on the Trump case if Special Prosecutor Nathan Wade withdraws. We expect that to happen. We're waiting reaction from the DA and from Nathan Wade. WSB legal reporter Veronica Waters just pulled up. She has read the entire ruling from the judge. She's going to join us live. Former DeKalb County DA J. Tom Morgan will get his reaction as well. So much more to cover on this big breaking news story. We'll be right back. It's the Mark Arum Show on 95.5 WSB.
No, I don't think there will be a trial before November. And to be clear, personally, I don't think Donald Trump will ever be on trial, a criminal trial, before the November election. I don't think any of these cases are just moving in that direction.
That's Scott Grubman, defense attorney. I believe he was representing Jack Cheeseborough in this same case, reacting to the breaking news you heard live on WSB. Judge McAfee says that Fulton County DA Fonnie Willis may remain on the Trump case if Nathan Wade, the special prosecutor, withdraws. We expect that to happen. I expect Wade will depart and Willis will continue the prosecution. WSB legal reporter Veronica Waters, I just talked to her in the newsroom. She is poring over right now the 24-page ruling from the judge. She is going to join us after the news at 10 and break it down for us because she understands the legalese better than I do of this, really long decision that is severely going to impact what's going on at the Fulton County Courthouse. But Scott Grubman there agreed with my opinion that we talked with Chris Chandler just before the break, that this while on the surface seems like a victory for the DA's office, this also is a victory for the defendants because they can continue to kick the can down the road. This ruling, which doesn't disqualify the Fulton County DA, does set up the appeal process for the defense attorneys, which will be a delay. And if eventually they do get to trial, the fact that you have to seat a jury, like what resident of Fulton County doesn't know about this trial? What resident of Fulton County doesn't know about the relationship between Nathan Wade and Fonnie Willis? The fact that it took like 8 or 9 months to seat a jury in the YSL trial, same jury pool. Will that double the time to find a jury here? It's crazy. So Veronica Waters, she is reading over it right now, and we'll get her reaction. We've reached out to Thane Rosenbaum, too, from CBS Radio News. Everyone's asking, where's Phil? Phil's on vacation.
Phil, he threw up the bat signal, yeah. And he's like many time zones away.
Can I say where? Yeah, he's many time zones away. So it's 3 a.m. where Phil Holloway is. We're not boycotting Phil. I would love to have Phil on this right now.
We actually did reach out to them, but he's asleep.
We texted him, but it's 3 in the morning where he is. So everyone just chill. We threw up the bat signal. Phil has his notification silenced. But you know, if we do hear from Phil, we'll bring him on, obviously. But we're going to continue to monitor that. Ellie Honig, former federal and state prosecutor right now, reacting to the decision by Judge McAfee.
Third, the unprofessional manner of the DA's testimony. Fourth, the odor of mendacity remains. I Googled mendacity. It means lying. Fifth.
Already new order. That's
right. Fifth, the legally improper speech that was made in the church that Laura just talked about, legally improper with the effect to cast racial aspersions on the defendants. Sixth, the DA has created dangerous waters for the DA to wade further into. And finally, and I think this is the most damning, there are reasonable questions about whether the DA testified untruthfully. Any one of these statements by a judge would be a career ender. For a normal prosecutor to have an on-the-record finding that there are reasonable questions about whether you lied under oath, that would be devastating. And we'll see what the political effects will be. The bottom line, the DA survives, but not without serious bruising, to use your analogy, sir.
There you go. Ellie Honig, senior legal analyst for CNN. Again, Veronica is going to join us after the news at 10 and go in depth on. I haven't had a chance because I'm on the air to read all 24 pages of this. But it doesn't, while he doesn't disqualify Fonnie Willis from what we're hearing, he certainly, you know, this isn't a glowing report card for the DA's office, Fonnie Willis. But if Wade withdraws, Fonnie Willis can stay. Michael Moore is another legal analyst from the state of Georgia, live on CNN right now, former U.S. attorney.
Motion, and that is to move the case on up. But that's certainly a legal option that he has, and he knows that would also create some amount of delay. And the language about whether or not the court gave sufficient weight to this or get consideration to that, that's the kind of language you would put in your motion. So it wouldn't surprise me to see it. Whether or not Judge McAfee agrees or whether or not the court would hear it, you know, that's another, that will be another issue. But certainly this is something and a tool they have that they can move forward with. The one thing I will say is, you know, I heard Ellie say that it would end careers for prosecutors. I tell young lawyers when I'm speaking to them, you can spend your entire career trying to catch up if you ever lose credibility with the court. And this sure seems like the judge is not happy with the credibility representations made by the DA.
That's really interesting.
Michael Moore. Great. Yeah, thank you, Kate. Michael Moore, former prosecutor here in Georgia, one of CNN's many legal analysts, including Ellie Honig. And we're going to monitor that. Paula Reed is their legal correspondent. Laura Coates, their chief legal analyst. So we're just trying to get as many voices on this story as possible. The main voice that we want to hear from is going to be coming up after the news at 10. WSB legal reporter Veronica Waters poring over this decision from Fulton County Judge McAfee. The front page. It's so weird to see. I have this printed out. Jennifer Perry, star of the show, printed this out for me. State of Georgia v. Donald John Trump, Rudolph William Lewis Giuliani, Mark Randall Meadows, Jeffrey Bossert Clark, Robert David Cheely, Michael A. Roman, David James Schaefer, Harrison William Prescott Floyd. That's a founding
That's a
father
great
name. And Kathleen Alston Latham. Indictment number 23 SC 188-947, 24-page decision by Judge McAfee. He promised it, 23 pages, excuse me. He promised it on Friday. He delivered on Friday shortly before we got on the air at 9. Veronica Waters has read the whole thing. She's breaking it down. She'll join us live. We are awaiting feedback, a response from Thane Rosenbaum, our CBS legal analyst. Hopefully he can join us. J. Tom Morgan, former DeKalb County DA, is going to join us as well. And Sabrina Cupid has the very latest coming up in under 3 minutes on this breaking news. The judge says that Fonnie Willis, the Fulton County DA, can stay on the case if Nathan Wade recuses himself. We expect that to happen. If we get word from the Fulton County DA's office or Nathan Wade, we'll bring it to you live right here on 95.5 WSB. To the show and a good Friday morning to you. Mark Arum here, you there. It's 10:07, 7 minutes after 10 o'clock. This is the Mark Arum Show live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to noon on 95.5 WSB. Everybody with us today, Deborah Green, the executive producer of the show. Longoria, the stoic Eskimo on the other side of the takeout window. Sweet Pea Purnell screens your calls. 30 minutes from now, we're going live to Jerusalem. Correspondent Robert Berger is going to join us there with the very latest on the Israel-Hamas war. But in the meantime, we continue our team coverage of the big breaking local news. In case you're just joining us, Fulton County Judge Scott McAfee sent down a 23-page decision today. We knew it was coming today. We didn't know what it would say. But basically, it says that if this case against former President Trump continues, either Fulton County DA Fonnie Willis or Special Prosecutor Nathan Wade must step down. Lori Levinson is CBS News legal contributor.
The judge issued an order. He found the appearance of a conflict of interest. He found that Fonnie Willis and Nathan Wade should not be on the case together, but that the office and she, if she chooses, can continue with the case. If she personally would rather drop out, then Nathan Wade can continue. But either way, Donald Trump and his co-defendants still face trial in Georgia for RICO racketeering counts and election interference.
Joining us live in studio, continuing our coverage, is WSB legal reporter Veronica Waters, who's been in the courtroom, in the Fulton County courtroom, throughout this process. Before we break down the 23-page ruling from the judge today, Veronica, were you surprised or not surprised by the judge's ruling?
Honestly, I would say I was not surprised by the judge's ruling. Sort of looking at everything from both sides and listening to the arguments, it did appear that the defense was making a really good case for an appearance of impropriety here. And the judge said from the very beginning when he convened the hearing that that could be enough to amount to a disqualification effort here. But it's hard to discount the testimony, although the defense would have you say, well, you can't believe anything that they're saying. But you have to have evidence. You can't just go on a gut feeling that you feel like these folks aren't quite telling the truth and, oh, I don't believe you had all this cash and whatever. So it didn't seem it didn't come as a surprise to me. Also, I feel like we had a hint that this was coming because the judge was parsing out all these different motions earlier in the week that had to do with this case, including saying that the district attorney's office could appeal the motion appeal his ruling from yesterday when he talked about taking some of the counts out of the indictment. To me, that doesn't sound like somebody who is about to
toss
exactly
a case. That's exactly what I said. If you were going to look for signs of what the judge's decision could be today, the fact that he threw out three charges led me to believe, all right, well, this case is going to go forward, because why go through the process of throwing out the charges if you're going to disqualify the DA? Now, my gut reaction was this to this judge's decision is that, oh, all right, Nathan Wade, the special prosecutor, steps away and Fonnie Willis will continue on the case. But I heard your Q&A there with Sabrina, because, and you brought up a great point. Fonnie Willis was never intending to be the lead prosecutor on this case, right? That's why she brought in the special prosecutor, Nathan Wade. Am I incorrect in my first thinking that Nathan Wade would step aside and Fonnie would stay?
I think it's entirely possible. And let's remember that Fonnie Willis has been a high-powered prosecutor for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Her position is an elected one, but she didn't get here just because she's good at kissing babies. She is a really successful prosecutor, and she's been at it a long time. I covered her when she was what they call a baby prosecutor in the Fulton County DA's office, and I've seen her in action. She knows what she's doing. She knows the law. The judge did mention now her sort of lack of professional attitude on the stand during the evidentiary hearing, and I thought that was interesting. He also talked about, what he calls repeated bad decisions on her and Nathan Wade's part, but he again says that doesn't amount to an actual conflict, and so we could actually see her take the reins of this prosecution.
So that's more likely. Not that, because she never intended to be the lead prosecutor, right? It was just her office. Nathan Wade was going to be the main prosecutor. So there's little chance that he continues with this case and she doesn't.
I would doubt that, because the judge's order says that if she chooses to step aside, if Willis chooses to step aside, the whole DA's office is gone.
It's gone, yeah.
So because there is this question of where you would find another office that would be able and willing to take on this case, whether the Prosecuting Attorney's Council of Georgia would actually take the time to put it in somebody's office, those questions remain. Remember that D.A. Willis was disqualified from prosecuting Burt Jones.
Because of a fundraiser
she had for an opponent before this Democratic candidate was the primary or was the actual Democratic nominee, but in the primary race, she had a fundraiser for this guy, and she was disqualified from prosecuting him or from pursuing charges against him in this very racketeering case. That was a year and a half ago.
And nothing.
And the Prosecuting Attorney's Council has still not appointed an office to look into that. I don't know if this is said to be a a nonpartisan group. The president of it is, you know, Pete Skandalakis, another well-known prosecutor. He is a Republican. You can, I don't know if anybody wants to say politics are playing a role in why he's not appointed in office, or if it's just, you know, maybe nobody wants to take the case. We don't know.
Yeah, and I think that would be, if the judge's ruling went another way, would another DA's office take the case? And the resounding answer I got from folks in the know is like, no one else is going to want to pick up this case against former President Trump, et cetera, et cetera. Now, on the surface, it seems like this is a win for the DA's office and a loss for the defendants. But I think if there is a silver lining for the defendants in this, with the judge's ruling today, is that they can appeal this, which then causes delay. You know, that has basically been the MO of certainly the President Trump camp, is just keep kicking the can so this thing doesn't come close to the election. Do you see any way conceivably that this is brought to trial before November?
No way.
No way, right?
Absolutely not. Yeah. You know, one of the main arguments from Steve Sadow, who is another incredible attorney and the lead counsel for former President Trump here in this Atlanta case, is that this is election interference at its best. This whole thing smacks of trying to interfere with the former president's reelection campaign. And, you know, it's interesting that the judge noted that D.A. Willis chose not to indict as many people as the special grand jury had even indicated. This whole thing is a mix of law and politics.
Sure.
Right? Can you make the case that this is a political case? I don't think so. I think it's clear that they parsed out these charges carefully. They put in a lot of overt acts here to try to make the case that this racketeering count will stick. And the judge did note that the DA tried to get the case tried much earlier. And again, he said that did not support the defense's claim that she's trying to line her pockets and trying to line Nathan Wade's pockets because she's trying to drag this out as long as possible. She's trying to indict as many people as possible. None of that happened here. And again, he also mentioned Nathan Wade's hourly rate of $250 is really pretty low for this part of town. And so he doesn't find any evidence that that there was a financial benefit here, that the DA was trying to drag the case out. He noted that she tried to try it earlier. But even so, with appeals and possible re-indictments on the current indictment, whether we'll see those charges made again, November is going to be long in the rear view.
Let's not forget, too, that there are already plea deals agreed to, which is, I think, is a big factor in this case moving forward. Can you hang out one more second? I know you're very busy today. WSB legal reporter Veronica Waters live in studio on the Mark Arum Show. 10:50, Thane Rosenbaum, CBS News legal analyst, is going to join us live as we continue to cover the big breaking news here on WSB. The Fulton County judge rules that either DA Fani Willis or Special Prosecutor Nathan Wade must go for this case to continue. We'll continue our team coverage next on 95.5 WSB.
Personally disappointed. I disagree with it. I found it interesting that Judge McAfee made pretty clear, I think, that he thought Fani Willis was lying on the stand, that he thought Nathan Wade was likely lying on the stand.
That's defense attorney Scott Grubman. He is the attorney for Kenneth Chesbrough in the Fulton County case. Welcome back to our continuing team coverage of the breaking news here. The announcement from Judge McAfee today. Also getting word from Steve Sadow, lead defense counsel for President Trump in the Fulton County, Georgia case, quote, "While respecting the court's decision, we believe that the court did not afford appropriate significance to the prosecutorial misconduct of Willis and Wade, including the financial benefits, testifying untruthfully about when their personal relationship began, as well as Willis's extrajudicial MLK church speech, where she played the race card and falsely accused the defendants and their counsel of racism. We will use all legal options available as we continue to fight to end this case, which should never have been brought in the first place." End quote. Steve Sadow, lead defense counsel for President Trump. WSB legal reporter Veronica Waters continues our coverage live in studio. The church speech is something that I criticized the DA for one reason and one reason alone, Veronica. Not the content of the speech. That's open to interpretation. Will this impact the case or whatever? But my theory is, as an illustrious career as Fani Willis has had so far, This is by far the biggest case of her career and probably will be the biggest case of her career. And I likened it to, you know, your senior year of college, final exams. You've got to pass all your exams to graduate. You go in a bunker mentality. You don't let anything distract you. You're hyper-focused. You're laser-focused on everything. And I thought that's what the DA's office should have done with this case. Don't give speeches in churches. Don't do anything that could be, you know, whether inappropriate or not, deemed inappropriate or not. I thought that the whole DA's office should have had that bunker mentality, and they didn't in this case.
I think the DA's office has had that bunker mentality until this point.
Yeah.
And I believe that what we saw there in that church, and again when the DA took the stand, was an explosion, if you will,
yeah,
of months, years of pressure, of death threats, of criticism, of allegations, and it all came out. I think that speech at church might have been meant to send a message like, hey, I'm doing the people's work here. But the phrasing, as the judge mentioned, was questionable, as the defense complained about. And the judge said, even though she didn't call anybody's name in that speech, she repeatedly said they. She used they or them when she was talking. And he said, but she also said, and others. And he said that in itself could lead an audience to believe that she's talking about the defendants as well. Keep in mind that the law says you can't make direct comments about anyone's guilt or innocence, mm-hmm, in the case. You can talk about their lawyers, and that's what the state said she was doing. She's talking about the lawyers here. They're the ones filing the motions. But you don't want to leave something like that open. And I can tell you, I'm no expert in crisis communications, but if I was on the DA's team and I was saying, okay, let's go to Big Bethel and make a speech, it would not have been that speech.
Sure, 100%.
It would not have been that
speech. Now, some certain defense attorneys in this case have brought that up, saying that that speech, that church speech, among other things, could taint the jury. We've been talking about the jury selection process if this case moves forward, and compare it to the YSL case, which took so long to get a jury. I would expect an even longer jury voir dire process in this massive racketeering indictment.
Yeah, you've got more defendants, I believe. You got 19 defendants, yeah, in this case. I'm not sure if we had two dozen in the YSL case. But that's going to take a long time. And as clueless as people can be about what's going on around them, is there anybody who's never heard of Donald Trump, either, yeah, before he became president or after? Is there anybody who doesn't know Rudy Giuliani? Those are the two arguably biggest names in this case that people on the street would recognize. How are you going to find some? Now, let's keep in mind, I was going to say, how do you find somebody who doesn't know about these guys? That is not in and of itself reason.
Sure.
To knock a juror.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you don't know who this person is.
I would knock them if they didn't know who Trump and Giuliani were.
But let me tell you something, and I'm not going to tell you who said this, but I've had a former prosecutor say to me, you would be surprised at how idiotic people can be in the public realm, because they don't pay attention to anything. It's entirely possible people have no clue what's going on here.
I know who told you. Marcia Clark. Veronica, get back in the newsroom. Keep diving into this. We're going to jump in and continue our coverage throughout the broadcast, throughout the day here on 95.5 WSP. Sabrina's standing by with the very latest in 3 minutes. When we come back, though, live to Jerusalem, correspondent Robert Berger joins us with the latest on the Israel-Hamas war. Our coverage continues next on The Mark Arum Show.
The Mark Arum Show is performed before a live studio audience.
Continuing to cover big breaking local news, you heard here on 95.5 WSB, Fulton County Judge McAfee rules that either Fulton County DA Fonnie Willis or Special Prosecutor Nathan Wade must recuse themselves for the case for that big indictment case to go on. Our team coverage will continue in about 15 minutes with legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum. Just confirmed, former DeKalb County DA J. Tom Morgan will join us after the news at 11. I want to get reaction, though, from Israel to the pretty remarkable statements that Majority Leader, Senate Majority Chuck Schumer made on the floor of the Senate.
As the highest-ranking Jewish elected official in our government and as a staunch defender of Israel, I rise today to say unequivocally, this is a grave mistake for Israel, for Palestinians, for the region, and for the world.
Joining us live in Jerusalem, CBS Radio News correspondent Robert Berger. Robert, Schumer's comments created a political firestorm over here in the United States. What was the reaction in Israel?
Yeah, I mean, shock, and I would even say outrage. The feeling is that Schumer is, interfering in internal Israeli politics. He called for early elections. He said Netanyahu can't lead the country anymore, and he's turning Israel into a pariah state. These are very strong words, also coming from a longtime supporter of Israel and a Jewish person himself. So I think there certainly among the Israeli government and even people, ordinary people I've spoken to, they resented these remarks. And Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's Likud party said Israel is not a banana republic.
Yeah, it's been a longstanding U.S. policy not to interfere at all in any elections in a democratic country, which is being interpreted that that's what Senator Schumer was doing, basically saying, hey, Netanyahu needs to leave. We need new leadership there. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Robert, but prior to the horrific attacks on October 7th, Prime Minister Netanyahu was not getting great poll numbers from Israelis, right? It seemed like his situation was tenuous at best.
That's right. I mean, there was this judicial reform that had brought tens of thousands of people onto the streets in protests. And he still has a majority in parliament, 64 out of 120 seats. It's not a big majority, but it's enough to remain in power. And I think polls show that if there were elections today, he would lose because, look, he was at the helm when this terrible attack on October 7th took place. They were the Israeli government and army were caught completely off guard. So he would lose an election almost certainly. But a lot of people, though, feel, and according to polls as well, I would say 50-50, even the ones that oppose Netanyahu, a lot of people don't feel that during a war you need unity and it's not a right time to have a divisive election.
Is there a parliamentary mechanism in place to call for a new election? Is that even possible?
Well, like I said, so he has 64 seats out of 120. It's a four-seat majority. And basically you can't topple the government unless somebody in that coalition, you need four people to abscond, or maybe five, mm-hmm. and then you lose your parliamentary majority and the government could fall. But, it's like politics anywhere. People want to hold on to their seats, and he doesn't have anybody within the coalition right now that's pulling out.
Absolutely. Robert Berger joining us live in Jerusalem on the Mark Arum Show. Let's talk about the new angle of aid getting into Gaza via the sea. Any updates on that? Any progress? And why is it taking so long for seaborne aid to reach the Gazans?
Well, now you're talking about a sea corridor. I mean, originally, the aid has always got into Gaza through land. 500 trucks a day used to go in before the war. But now you have a lot of Gazans basically on the edge of starvation, according to the UN and humanitarian organizations. There have been problems, of course. You know, this is a war zone. The Israelis have strict restrictions. Mobs and Hamas itself have been seizing a lot of the aid going in. So they've tried to open this sea corridor. Now, there is a ship that came from Cyprus that now is offshore carrying 200 tons of food. Now, it's going to be a challenge to get that food onto shore, but it is poised to do that, and that would mark the official opening of this sea corridor.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Robert, but Israel and Egypt control the waterways surrounding the Gaza Strip, correct?
Basically, it's Israel controls the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, and they haven't allowed the Hamas government to have a seaport for obvious reasons. I mean, they've managed to smuggle in huge amounts of weapons across the land border with Egypt, but, you don't want big ships sailing in loaded with weapons. So there isn't a seaport. They've kind of built this makeshift jetty for this charity ship that's offshore. And by the way, the American military is planning to build a temporary port. We have ships from the U.S. that are on their way to Gaza to build a temporary port and try and open that sea route.
Finally for you, Robert, we're getting reports from the Associated Press that there's a proposed U.S. resolution for a ceasefire in Gaza. Any update on that? Any movement on a possible deal for hostages or a temporary ceasefire?
Yeah, there's a new proposal on the table by Hamas. I mean, the negotiations have been ongoing, and now Hamas has come up with a, sort of an updated proposal, which would be in the first stage of a ceasefire to release dozens of Israeli hostages. There are at least 100 that are alive, by the way, to release dozens, including women, children, men, and elderly men, and the sick, in exchange for 700 to 1,000 Palestinian prisoners. The problem really isn't that stage. It's more what Hamas wants afterwards. They want a complete end to the war, something that Israel is not prepared to give because it's vowed to destroy Hamas.
Robert Berger live in Jerusalem. As always, Robert, we appreciate your time. Please stay safe, my friend.
All right, thanks.
There you go, Robert Berger. Yeah, Chuck Schumer fired up some politicians here and certainly fired up some Israelis. In fact, I might Turnbull this bed, Longoria, but I want to play a reaction from the Israeli spokesman Avi Hyman on Schumer's remarks.
Prime Minister and his coalition were elected by a wide majority. I can tell you that since October 7th, the Israeli people have never been more united behind our war aims to destroy Hamas, to bring home the hostages, and to ensure that Gaza never becomes a threat to Israel.
All right. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum joining us next on the Fulton County Courthouse Breaking News, next on the Mark Arum Show.
This is what judges do. They love to split the baby. They love to make it so that kind of no one's happy, but no one's that mad.
Defense attorney Scott Grubman reacting to the breaking news you heard live on WSB Radio. Judge Scott McAfee says either Fani Willis or Nathan Wade must go for this racketeering trial to continue at the Fulton County Courthouse. Our live team coverage continues now with CBS Radio News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum. Thane, you thought you had a long weekend. My apologies, friend.
Mark, I always expect to hear from you, and I don't mind.
And especially on a morning like this. All right, your initial reaction, the judge said he was going to issue his order today. He did it. What do you think about the judge's ruling?
I'm not entirely surprised, Mark. Remember, the other day he dismissed six of the counts, right? Why would he go to the trouble of dismissing six of the counts if he was going to disqualify Fani Willis and this case had legs and it was going to some other spot in Georgia? Right? Why would he go to the trouble?
Yeah.
He obviously thought, I'm going to preserve the case here because that's why I decided to shave it down a little on a few of the counts and with a few of the defendants. But I am not disqualifying her because the minute I disqualify her, then the whole office is tainted and it's going to go to some other district attorney and to some other judge. So I thought that someone needed to go. Obviously, the Wade was more dispensable. You know, he doesn't work there. He was a special prosecutor. He has another day job. So, you know, and he basically put the burden on her. He said, he's got to go, but maybe you can go too, right? That's up to you. Do you want to go as well? But in the interim, I'm going to say, I think Wade should go and you can stay, but you can both go or you can go and leave him. It's up to you.
My initial reaction, Thane, was, oh, obviously, all right, Nathan Wade, he's going to recuse himself and Fani Willis will continue. But the more I've been thinking about it, like Fani Willis was never going to be the lead attorney in this trial. It was going to be Nathan Wade. Is there any chance that Nathan Wade stays and Fani Willis recuses herself?
Well, look, if that was going to happen, that's something she should have done before.
Yeah.
Because that would have looked good. That would have played well in Georgia. I really do. I think people would have been very forgiving if she said, all right, that was a lapse in judgment, not my best day. I probably should not have had a relationship with him. But look, love is love, and, you know, the heart wants what it wants. But I really, really, really should step away because I'm not the prosecutor anyway. Listen, Mark Arum is right. I'm not really the day-to-day person. I'm just going to be sitting there in the courtroom. So I'm going to pull back. She didn't do that. So he's the one who's got his hands on it, right? But then the question became, well, who's got the conflict of interest? And remember, this was the judge that wasn't sure under Georgia law how he was supposed to make that determination. Was it an actual conflict of interest where he had to see concrete evidence that Fani Willis derived the personal benefit from her relationship with Mr. Wade? Or if it just looks bad, if that's enough for the judge to say, you know what, both of you need to go. The judge obviously decided the standard was concrete benefit. I'm not sure that there is enough evidence to show. I mean, there may be people that disagree with this, Mark, but he's saying, I think it just looks bad. I don't think any decisions were made on this case that are tainted because of a conflict of interest.
Steve Sadow, lead defense counsel for President Trump in the Fulton County case, released a written statement, not happy with the judge's decision. Sadow, there are a number of defense attorneys on this case, obviously, with so many indictees. Do these defense attorneys have any options, appealing this order on the defense motion to dismiss? Do they have any legal options going forward?
Sure. They can go to the first set of appeal courts in Georgia, take it straight up into the first step, meaning the middle courts, not the Supreme Court of Georgia, but just the middle state court appellate review, and say, look, an evidentiary was conducted, evidentiary hearing. There's a record of all of the people who testified, the text messages, the GPS, positions, mm-hmm. all of those things are in the record, and ask for appellate review to overturn the decision and disqualify Willis. Now, that can happen, and they probably will. But you know what? I'm not sure this is a bad decision for them, the defendants, because, Fannie Willis is now damaged goods. And if she decides to stay there, any potential juror from that area, it'll be in their minds. And Donald Trump, as you know, doesn't stop talking about, weaponization, two standards of justice, they're coming after me. And so by having her face in the courtroom, she's tainted. And I think that it serves his larger argument, and it might, the people of Georgia might say, you know what, we don't really want to be in the business of being complicit in a political show trial, as opposed to something that is legitimate. We didn't know that this stuff, this personal stuff, was in the background. We thought this was only about racketeering, but now we see it's a little more complicated and a little more personal. So I'm not sure. I'm sure they'll appeal, but I'm not so sure this is a bad result for them.
Yeah, at the very least, and we discussed this earlier, Thane, this pushes the trial date further down the calendar, because there'll most likely be an appeal from at least one of the defense attorneys. And that issue of Fulton County residents, the process of selecting a jury, the voir dire process, is going to take forever on this case.
Oh, God. You're going to ask any juror to say, hey, do you have any personal feelings at all about Donald Trump and Fannie Willis? Everyone is going to have an opinion. When during voir dire, the whole point is to try to find a blank slate person who has no biases, no feelings. Find anyone in the country, but certainly not in Fulton County, given the fact that people had voted for Fannie Willis. She was adamant, indignant that nothing improper happened. She was somewhat vindicated. But, here's another thing, and this. McAfee, the judge, he's an elected public official.
Yes.
He's got an election coming up. And what he recently discovered? Someone to his left
is running. Yeah, exactly right.
And so he knows, he's going, I cannot disqualify Fannie Willis. I will never get reelected.
The law and politics, like oil and water. Thane, thank you so much for jumping in on this breaking news, buddy. You are released for the weekend, my friend.
Thanks. I'm not always counting on that, but I'll stay tuned.
There you go. Well, I'm off this weekend, so that means you're off. Thane's on Twitter at Thane Rosenbaum. Our team coverage continues next after news, weather, and traffic. Oh, we got Phil Holloway and former DeKalb DA J. Tom Morgan. We're all over this breaking news on 95.5 WSB.
Maka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas.
You're thinking, why are we playing Christmas music on the Ides of March? Well, that's because WSB legal analyst Phil Holloway, wearing a lei, joining us live to update our breaking news from the Fulton County Courthouse. Phil, what a mensch you are, joining us on your Hawaiian vacation. Welcome, my friend.
Always happy to be here. when the bat signal flies, it's seen worldwide.
The worldwide Phil Holloway bat. What time is it where you are, by the way?
Oh, it's only, oh, it's late. It's 5:06 a.m.
5:00, all right. So Phil was getting up to do his Peloton exercises anyway. Phil, the listeners have been clamoring all over Twitter. Where's Phil on this story? We've got Phil on this story. I don't know if you had a chance to digest the 23-page ruling from Judge McAfee, but your initial reaction to what he laid down this morning?
The initial reaction that I have is that he's expressed some language that's meant to satisfy people who think that Fannie Willis acted improperly and lied, perhaps, to the court. However, he's thrown a bone to them, to the defense. Basically, he said, look, Nathan Wade or Fannie Willis has to go. There's no way that Fannie Willis is going to remove her office. She's simply going to go ahead and say to Mr. Wade, thank you, but we're going to carry on without you from here on out. And according to the judge's order, that just clears it up. I'm a little disappointed that the order did not more fully address certain things that are major, major issues in the case, such as whether or not the district's attorney has misled the court or has even perhaps lied under oath. Those things seem to be sort of, I don't want to say swept under the rug, but they certainly were, I don't think, well addressed. The witness, for example, Robin Yurty, who said under oath in no uncertain terms that the relationship that she was aware of started in 2019 as opposed to the 2022 testimony that was given by Willis and Wade. To that testimony, the judge simply said, well, you know, it just kind of lacked context, and he basically didn't know, you know, it doesn't move the needle for him in any way. I don't know what further context it could have provided, because she said that she knew the people, she was close to them, she saw them hugging and kissing in 2019. So I'm not clear on what the judge means when he says he found it unpersuasive because it lacked context. Similarly, he said that the testimony of Terrence Bradley, when Bradley was his testimony was, we call it, impeached by prior inconsistent statements, wherein in those statements and text messages he clearly referred to the affair beginning much earlier than 2022. Once again, the judge just kind of punted on that and says, well, he didn't know what to make of it, so he's just gonna look past it and move on.
Phil, let me jump in for a second, Phil. Do you think that, because there's so many defense attorneys attached to this case, that they will automatically appeal this decision?
If they can. There's a lot here that I think is potentially appealable, but this is a situation now where it might fall into the category of cases that are a discretionary appeal. In other words, they would have to ask the judge for permission for what's called a certificate of immediate review, and that's discretionary. The judge can grant that, and if it's granted, the Court of Appeals also has the discretion to decide whether they're going to take it. This is a pretrial appeal, and normally pretrial appeals are something that if it's against the defendant, the judge doesn't always have to allow it. But the decision the other day to toss the six counts against Trump and some of the other defendants, the state does have a direct right of appeal to appeal those things. So I would imagine that the defendants are going to ask the judge to appeal this. Whether he grants it remains to be seen. On an issue that's as important as this, on a case that's as important as this, I think that there's a very good argument to be made that the judge should allow this pretrial appeal by the defendants. But we will have to wait and see what they ask for and if the judge is going to grant it.
Phil, if Nathan Wade does withdraw from the case, he was the special counsel. He was supposed to be the lead prosecutor and this attorney in the courtroom. If he withdraws, is it going to be Fannie Willis leading this case or someone else from the DA's office?
No, if you've noticed, it's not been Wade recently. It's been Anna Cross. She's been the one that's kind of actually been the one leading it. I've never felt that Nathan Wade was actually sort of the in-court lead counsel. And so I think that if she cuts him loose, as what the judge says, she's either going to have to cut him loose or she's going to go. And there's no way she's going to go. So I think it's fair to say Wade is gone. They're just going to carry on Anna Cross, and the others will go ahead and carry the torch moving forward. I never have felt that Nathan Wade was really in charge of all of this in terms of the courtroom processes and the pretrial hearings. So he will be gone, and the case will move on as is, subject to any appeals that the defense might bring, and subject to whether or not Willis herself is going to appeal the other ruling relating to the dismissal of the counts. So I think probably the odds are pretty good that one way or another, this is all going to the Court of Appeals.
Final question for vacationing legal analyst Phil Holloway and the Mark Arum Show. When can we expect more action in the Fulton County courtroom? What's the next step in this process?
I think the parties are digesting this opinion. I think that we will see we will probably see some filings made by the defense in a maybe today, maybe early next week, where they set out to the judge what they want the next steps to be. It might be additional motions to reconsider. You know, the judge never did reopen the evidence. You know, for example, the proffered testimony of Cindy Yeager, the chief assistant DA in Cobb County, she basically would have come to court and said that she has personal knowledge that Willis herself attempted to influence a witness's testimony in order to, I guess, have the information about the monies paid by these to these independent contractors, to have that issue sort of be downplayed by the witness. And so it's very interesting that the judge does not want to hear from her, because that would be, I think, illustrative, and it would shed a lot of light on the context of all of this. But the judge said, look, we just don't need to hear from her. I personally disagree with that. I think the judge needs to have all the information available to him to find out exactly what the facts and circumstances were surrounding this whole thing before he makes the decision. So merely his refusal to reopen the evidence to allow that important testimony could be the basis of an appeal.
Phil, save the receipt from your luau tonight. Ken Charles is going to reimburse you for all of your meals today, my friend. Phil, thanks
okay,
so much for... Yes, save all your receipts.
That.
We might get your flight reimbursed. WSB legal analyst Phil Holloway on vacation, jumping live to cover the breaking news. Phil, as always, thanks so much, brother.
Anytime, buddy. Take care.
There you go. Phil, 5 in the morning. Jump it on here. All right, when we come back, our coverage continues. Former DeKalb County DA J. Tom Morgan joins us live on the Mark Arum Show.
It's not even a slap on the wrist. You know, it's a rub on the finger, whatever the analogy is. It's not, I don't think she's going to care whatsoever.
Defense attorney Scott Grubman, attorney for Kenneth Chesbro, reacting to the breaking news you heard live on WSB Radio. Fulton County Judge McAfee says either Fulton County DA Fonnie Willis or Special Prosecutor Nathan Wade must withdraw from the case, but the case can continue. We continue our team coverage on this breaking news. Former DeKalb County DA J. Tom Morgan joins us live on the Mark Arum Show. J. Tom, good morning. Thanks for your time.
Hey, Mark, glad to be with you all on this rainy Friday.
Yeah, so you have a unique perspective. You were a DA. Put yourself in the office of the DA when they heard this announcement. Happy, upset? What do you think the DA reaction is in Fulton County?
Well, first, I would think it'd be very embarrassing to a district attorney. Ms. Willis was slapped down pretty soundly by the judge, particularly regarding her comments that were made at the church, though we found that they did not disqualify her or, you know, cause for the case to be moved. He did say, though, that he would seriously consider a gag order, which I'm surprised that the judge has not already issued one. The legal issue, though, Mark, is I have never believed there was an actual conflict which would cause her to be disqualified. An actual conflict, as we've discussed before, means that there was a financial interest in the outcome of the case or personal interest in the outcome of the case. That's not what we have here. There is the appearance of a conflict, and that gave the judge a wide latitude of remedies. And he chose the one I really think Ms. Willis should have exercised the first day this motion was filed, and that was either recuse yourself, Ms. Willis, or dump Mr. Wade. And I'm sure that's what the prosecutor is going to do. But if she'd done this earlier, maybe it would not have all the hullabaloo that we've had for the last 2 months.
Interesting. Yeah, we all assume that Nathan Wade will withdraw from the case. But is there any world in which the DA, Fani Willis, decides to withdraw instead?
No, I think really what the next big issue is going to be, both sides have 10 days to file for an immediate certificate of review by the Court of Appeals. That would be discretionary with Judge McAfee. I am sure Ms. Willis's office will not file for a review, but I am sure that Mr. Trump and the others will. Whether Judge McAfee grants that is totally within his discretion. It's not automatic. This has case has many issues. It is a case of first impression. There's a lot of at stake here. So I can see the judge granting this. If that happens, this case will be dragged on for a long, long time. But we'll just have to wait and see. Again, that's the judge's discretion. And we've got 10 days to know what's going to happen.
Former DeKalb County DA J. Tom Morgan joining us live on the Mark Arum Show. If this eventually goes to trial and we get a verdict, is the judge's decision today grounds for appeal for either the defense or the prosecution on what he released today?
Not for the prosecution, Mark, but for the defense, yes. If the judge does not grant the immediate certificate of review, this will be an appealable issue should there be a conviction for any of the defendants in this case.
Interesting. So, J. Tom, I've been critical of the DA for, I don't want to phrase this where I offend anyone, but not taking this case as seriously as she should, not to denigrate anything she's done in her career up to this point. But there's no question this is the biggest case she's ever been involved with and will probably be the biggest case she will ever try. And I would have, if I were that in that position, I would have taken a bunker mentality. I would not be out making speeches at church. I would have everything buckled down and focused nothing but my efforts on this case. As a former DA, would that have been the proper way to handle this, to make sure everything is buttoned up and airtight?
Yes, Mark. As you recall, the Dorsey case, I was fortunate enough to have really good people working in my office. So for 18 months, that's all I did was working on that case and laser focus my attention. Also, we had a gag order in that case. Both sides wanted the gag order and agreed to it. And it protects the prosecutor, Mark, from actually people like you. You know, we've had a gag order. Sorry, we can't answer your questions. So, it's my concern is that this is sort of an example of the emperor has no clothes on. If you're in a position of leadership, you can get to the point where you think, I can do anything. And she got slapped down. I mean, this was a terrible mistake of judgment on her part. And it's gotten personal. I've been doing this for over 40 years. I've tried hard cases against defense attorneys. I've tried hard cases against prosecutors. But after the verdict comes back, we've always been able to go across the street and get a beer. That's not going to happen in this case.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be breaking bread anytime soon. J. Tom Morgan, man, great insight. Fantastic to have you on the show reacting to this breaking news. Sit back and relax and enjoy your weekend, sir.
All right. Thank you, Mark. You too.
There you go. Former DeKalb County DA J. Tom Morgan. Sabrina continues our team coverage as breaking news. That's 4 minutes away on 95.5 WSB. Social media is active throughout the broadcast, by the way, at Mark Arum, MarkArum.
Call. He packed in the animals 2x2.
Ox, a camel, and a kangaroo. Appropriate, the Noah's Ark song on a day where we're having severe weather here in Metro Atlanta. Christina Edwards updating her full forecast throughout the day on 95.5 WSB. Apparently really some bad severe weather to the north and west of us. Here's Odyssey News meteorologist, I don't know what that is, Craig Allen on the severe weather.
Downpours from heavy showers. There are strong thunderstorms, some of them even locally severe, and this area is now pushing through central and eastern sections of Tennessee into Georgia, as well as South Carolina. It extends on down into the northern half of Alabama.
All right, settle down, Craig. You know Christine Edwards, Craig Allen, whatever, whoever you are.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry, Craigers. So I was just in the newsroom talking to Veronica Waters, our legal reporter, who joined us earlier in studio about the breaking news. And I asked her if we've heard from any other defense attorneys. Because right now we've only heard audio from Scott Grubman. He is the attorney for Kenneth Chesbrough in this case.
I don't. Look, unfortunately, with criminal defense, this is always an issue. You plead guilty early, you usually get the best deal. But if you plead guilty early and then something happens in the case later, you don't get the advantage of that.
Talking about the clients that already had a plea deal. So we've heard from Grubman, and we got a written statement from Stephen Sadow. Veronica has sent out a request to Ashley Merchant to hear back from her if there's a reaction, and no word yet from the Fulton County DA's office. We are expecting that Nathan Wade will withdraw himself from the case, and Fonnie Willis will continue. We will continue our coverage throughout the day here on 95.5 WSB. I do want to update Election Day in Russia.
This election is expected to give Vladimir Putin another six-year term. That will allow him to stay in power longer than any Russian leader since Catherine the Great. Western governments have condemned the vote as a farce. Most of Putin's major opponents are dead, in prison, or in exile. Others have been barred from running.
That's an underrated word, farce. I need to start working that into my daily conversation.
What happens if Putin doesn't win?
There's no chance. Right,
that's exactly.
There's literally no chance. The question is he going to get 99% of the vote or 98% of the vote? Crazy stuff. But if you're listening on the app in Russia,
If they let you go.
I wonder if the WSB radio app's banned in China along with Instagram.
Probably. Probably. Now that we talked about it, probably.
Exactly. Steve Mnuchin, the former Treasury Secretary, I think he was. He's leading a group to buy of American investors.
Yeah, to take over.
To take over TikTok. I can't see a world where TikTok is not a thing in the United States. So there'll be some conclusion to that. I want to talk, we've been doing this Fulton County thing all days, but there are a couple of stories I wanted to get to. I personally, and I probably should do this, I never pack a lunch when I come to work. Longoria, you sometimes, most of the time.
Yeah, mostly then go out.
I see you eating the hard, healthy oatmeal every morning, but yes. I'm not here for your lunch break.
No, yeah.
What do you usually bring for lunch?
It depends on what I had for dinner the night before, usually.
Leftovers. Yeah. All right. Bob Cox, who used to be the co-anchor on Atlanta's Morning News, I worked for him for 20 years. Every single day, he brought in a brown bag lunch with a sandwich and like a piece of fruit and maybe some crackers.
Like elementary school style?
Well, I mean, yeah, but he was,
But I'm just thinking a brown bag,
yeah,
right?
He had a brown bag. I don't know if his beautiful wife would make it for him or he did it, but there was never a morning where Bob Cox didn't brown bag his lunch. That tradition from Bob's generation and older, the lunchbox generation, that's going away in the workforce now in 2024.
Yeah, it seems like millennials, Gen Zers, they are not about having box lunch, bringing anything with them. They want to get out of the office. They kind of were used to working at home for a little while. Yeah. Now these mandates are making them come back in, even if it's just for a couple of days a week. And they don't like that. So they're using the excuse of, it's time for me to take a break. It's time for me to get lunch, to leave, go somewhere, yes, get out of the office. Even though they're spending a lot on meals, they don't care. It's their way of saying, I got to get out of the office.
Understood. So it's more of a freedom thing. To get out of the office. I should financially brown bag my lunch every day.
Maya plans her meals, right?
She does. Yeah. She brings her lunch to work 4 days a week. On Friday, she gets something ordered or goes out or whatever. I don't. I leave here. I'm horrible at this.
Because
I'm starving during
the show.
And then I go out and I eat unhealthy for lunch. And it costs money when you go out, spending. If I go to Golden Corral with Longoria or wherever I go, Oak Grove Market is my lunch spot now. It adds up. Financially speaking, I should be brown bagging my lunch. I'm just not good at pre-prepping. I will bring leftovers. If Maya made Sloppy Joe's, something that can reheat easily.
Something that travels easy.
Yeah. I should do
and
that.
And then sometimes we have food here, too. It's kind of a hit and miss sometimes.
We used to have... I don't know if you guys were here for this, but on the second floor cafeteria, there was a guy, a caterer, who would bring in every lunch hour, every day, around noon, 11:30. He'd set up in the cafeteria, and he'd have sandwiches and hot meals.
And you just, like a cafeteria.
And it was lifesaver. When I used to work 4 a.m. to 1 p.m., I'd be starving because I didn't prep, and I'd go up there and get, you know, beef stroganoff or meatloaf.
We had a food truck here for a little while,
yeah,
too, remember?
But anyway, not enough people would, because they were all Bob Cox. They were all brown bagging it. So the guy wasn't making any money. He's like, I got to get out of here. Fatty Arum is the only one that's buying my food. He'd have sandwiches and homemade desserts. It was good stuff.
We have the commissary.
There was another, speaking of food, and we're going to get back to the Fulton County thing in a second, but I'm hungry now. When Bortz was on, there was a guy that owned a restaurant named Mosey, and he would bring a catered breakfast in every morning.
Belinda used to bring us stuff.
Yes.
When I first started working here, she's like, would you like some breakfast? And I'm like, not really. But she would. Oh, she got to the point where she had it every day, and it was great.
Insane. Mosey would bring in this. He had and personalized breakfast for Bortz and Belinda and Royal. And I jumped in on that train. He used to make me an egg and cheese sandwich every morning. And then there was, you know, pancakes someday and bacon.
Oatmeal and fruit is what I got.
And every day, oatmeal and fruit, like every day. What, Mosey? I guess that stopped when
Bortz is gone. Yeah. Belinda's not here in the morning
when
anymore.
When Herman took over for Bortz, the gravy train stopped. And it didn't start up again with Von Hessler. Mosey, if you're listening, dude, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I'm grandfathered in.
Yeah.
I used to make me an egg and cheese sandwich every day. It was fantastic. That's the solution. Anyway, the young kids are going out for lunch. I don't blame them. I can't criticize. I do it every day, too. Financially, though, guys, youngins, you should brown bag your lunch. Save you thousands a year. The average American.
$2,500
a year on food. All right. When we come back, we are going to update the breaking news out of the Fulton County Courthouse. Senator Schumer calling for a new election in Israel. Big backlash there. And Longoria's fact of the day. Does this mean, since you're on with the Mark Arum Show, you will not be on doing traffic during Shelley Winter Show tonight?
That is correct.
A loss for the Shelley Winter listeners, but a gain for the Mark Arum Show listeners. So good to have you, Josie. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much.
Let's give back to the listeners, Deborah Green. We got some amazing tickets to give away. What do we have?
Pair of tickets to go see Sting at the Cobb Energy Performing Arts Center on October 22nd.
Sting like Gordon Sumner Sting?
Yeah, remember who David Foster
yes.
desperately wanted to work
Ooh.
With? Sting.
Ooh. All right, these are good tickets. What did you say? On what date?
Cobb Energy Center, October 22nd.
All right, 22nd caller to 404-872-0750 wins the tickets to see Gordon Sumner Sting at the Cobb Energy Center, courtesy of the Mark Arum Show and 95.5 WSB. 22nd caller to Sweet Pea Purnell at 404-872-0750. If you're just joining us, you missed a lot covering the breaking news in Fulton County. Judge Scott McAfee says that, yes, the case will continue against former President Trump if either Fani Willis or Special Prosecutor Nathan Wade withdraw from the case. J. Tom Morgan, former DeKalb DA, one of many legal analysts joining us on this breaking news.
Both sides have 10 days to file for immediate certificate of review by the Court of Appeals. That would be discretionary with Judge McAfee. I am sure Ms. Willis's office will not file for a review, but I am sure that Mr. Trump and the others will.
Yeah, we're going to monitor this situation. I call this, Deborah, I was thinking about this. This was a King Solomon decision by Judge McAfee. You remember the story of King Solomon?
Sure.
I know it's Old Testament. You're a New Testament kind of gal. But basically, if you don't know, remember, King Solomon's like, well, cut the baby in half then. And then one person was like, no. I'd rather the baby stay. I think that's what we kind of had here. He cut the baby in half. He's like, all right, you both can't stay. I'm right down the middle. And I think this is, at first glance, it seems like a victory for the prosecution, the DA's office. And maybe it is minor. But again, there's the reputation of the office has been sullied. So I don't know what kind of legs they have to stand on, the Fulton County DA's office. But it is a minor victory there. But I think it's a victory for the defense in the respect that this will be appealed. I think every legal analyst we had on agreed that this will, at least one of the defense attorneys is going to appeal this decision by the judge. And that appeal process just lengthens what has already been a long legal process at the Fulton County Courthouse. And if we do the math correctly, adding in picking a jury for this trial, which is going to take forever, there is no way this happens before the November presidential election. So I think this was a King Solomon decision by the judge. And you know, I was going to offer my opinion at the beginning of the show on the judge before the decision came down, because I wanted to get my opinion on the record before he issued it. And then he issued it, and I couldn't get... I think the judge has been very fair, very professional through this whole thing. You can agree or disagree with this decision, but prior to the decision, my thought was he has been above board this whole time. And if I were ever in court as a defendant or in court as a prosecuting attorney or defense attorney, I might still go back to law school. That's the kind of judge I would like to have, is Judge McAfee. Can I squeeze in a sports story?
I think so, yeah.
Did you hear the breaking news a couple days ago? Shohei Ohtani got married. Like,
oh, yeah, I did see that.
The most eligible bachelor in all of Asia got married, but we didn't know who his wife is. That mystery is now over.
The L.A. Dodgers new star has finally introduced the world to his new wife.
Swung out, hit high in the air to left and deep.
Shohei Ohtani is sharing photographs of the couple arriving in South Korea with the team ahead of their MLB season opener next week. Japanese media identify her as Mamiko Tanaka, who plays in Japan's women's basketball league. Baseball fans cheered and chanted as the newlyweds walked through the arrivals hall at Incheon International Airport. In an Instagram post last month, Ohtani revealed he'd gotten married and promised details to follow. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
Can you imagine? I'm putting no pressure on the Ohtanis. I wish them well. That the level of athleticism that their kids are going to have.
Oh, like, gosh.
The greatest baseball player since Babe Ruth. And he married a professional basketball player. And you really only need one athletic parent to have look at the Longoria family. You know,
yeah, it's not me.
Longoria got voted least athletic member of WSB Radio, but Leslie's athletic abilities have led to two athletic daughters.
Yeah, overshadowed.
Yeah, the DNA just pushed pushed the Longoria DNA. Can you imagine what their kids are? They're going to be like super athletes.
And who's going to want? Everyone's going to want them on their team.
Oh yeah,
and they want to be their coaches. Yeah,
very happy. A lot of sad Japanese ladies though. Shohei is off the market.
Longoria's fact of the day.
All right, it's National Kansas Day. No, not the band, the state.
The Kansas. State of Kansas.
Yeah. And it's the nation's second largest producer of beef cattle, behind only Texas. And in Dodge City, it's the windiest city in the United States with an average wind speed of 14 miles per hour.
I've never been to Kansas.
Really?
Never.
Never driven through it or anything?
Nope. Right. And Kansas City's not even in Kansas. So,
no, it's Missouri.
Yeah. So if you thought, if you're like, oh, I've been to Kansas, you've been to Missouri.
Yeah.
National Kansas Day. All right. That's kind
of
way to end the show with a whimper.
It's a Friday. What do you expect?
I'll top that. 52 years ago, Deborah Green, greatest movie ever premiered.
Sandlot?
Hollywood Big Shot's going to give you what you want.
It's too late. They start shooting in a week.
I'm going to make them an offer he can't refuse.
The Godfather premiered 52 years ago today. That, of course, was Don Corleone talking with the singer. I forget his name. The singer was not played by Judd Hirsch, whose birthday is today.
Sure, I know they're blueberries. What I'm saying is they may not be blueberries. And while all blueberries are blue, not all blueberries are blue.
89 years old today, Judd Hirsch from Taxi. He played Alex Rieger. That was my nickname in high school for a little bit.
Rieger?
Why?
Because I have a big nose like Judd Hirsch.
Okay.
So my buddy Ted, one of my best friends, still calls me Rieger. There's worse nicknames you could have. Stars of the show, Longoria. Hit that button.
And now, are you guys ready for the Mark Arum Star of the Show?
So it was such a wild show today. I don't even know where my bell is. Refresh my memory if I'm missing someone, Deborah. Actor David Morse joined us live. His new movie, Cabrini, is out in studios. Loved him in Green Mile, Contact, St. Elsewhere, 12 Monkeys. He gets a star of the show. Veronica Waters joined us live, updating the breaking news in Fulton County. She gets a star of the show. Robert Berger joined us live from Jerusalem, updating the Israel-Hamas war. He gets a star of the show. Phil Holloway. I'm going to give him two stars of the show. WSB legal analyst on vacation in Hawaii called in to join us and join our break. Why are you laughing?
He said our boss called him and told him to call.
Yeah,
in.
Exactly. He didn't answer my text, but the boss text. That's why he should get a free luau today. He gets a star of the show. J. Tom Morgan, fantastic to have him on. Former DeKalb County District Attorney. Apologies to Brett Michaels. We had to bump him today. Am I forgetting it? Thane Rosenbaum, CBS legal analyst. We are all over that breaking news, which popped just before we came on the air. All right, are we gonna have more Sting tickets next week, perhaps?
I have yet to find out.
Right.
But we'll be talking about Freaknik next week,
oh,
and you're
nice.
Gonna be talking to the director of the new Bob Marley movie, One Love.
Fantastic. So we're already locked and loaded for next week, and of course, we'll update the breaking news out of Fulton County. Waiting for reaction from the Fulton County DA's office and more of the defense attorneys. We got you covered throughout the day here on 95.5 WSB. Exhausting show today. I'm going to go buy lunch now instead of brown bagging it. I will continue the conversation throughout the day and the weekend on the social medias, friends. It's at Mark Arum, MarkArum. Stay safe. Have a great Friday, Atlanta.
Said he's going back to a simpler place and time.
Takes that ride,
oh, you see him.
The Mark Arum Show, stay at the All Suite Omni Hotel, located in the heart of Chicago's Magnificent Mile.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com.